It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Fire?
How you doing, Stanky Lane?
What's up, man?
High five from everyone.
Took it to the limit.
I have a horrible foot fetish.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox. Let's go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
No Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Whoa, big boy, yeah.
Hey, you fired up?
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hey, this is Steven Tyler, and every year during Thanksgiving week, do look like a turkey. Baby, pass a gravy. Do look like a turkey. You can win a dinner with me during Thanksgiving week, thanks to WBCN and Strawberries. All you got to do is bring a can of food to any Strawberries Records and Tapes location. Then we'll donate it all to the Boston Food Bank. WBCN will choose 5 winners, each with a guest, to pass the gravy baby and to get down and jam with the candied yams. At Michael's Waterfront Restaurant on Atlantic Avenue, the place with after-dinner shuttle service to the theater district. My, 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 my. So come on, feed the needy, and win a dinner with me, Steven Tyler. Just drop off a can of food at Strawberries today, and thank you. From all of us in Aerosmith and everybody at The Rock, WBCN.
Tyler, and you listen to Toucher and Rich on 98.5, the sports hub. Hey, this is Steven Tyler, and you listen to Teacher and Rich, Toucher. Ooh, hey, this is Steven Tyler, and you know where to Toucher and Rich on 98.5, the sports hub.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. It's getting that time of year where Eddie Money can come out and say gobble, gobble.
That is still one of my favorite single pieces of audio that we have, and that was shown to us. What year do you think that was? Like 88? Maybe like 88?
Not Pump. It was the one before Pump.
Was it Permanent Vacation?
Yeah.
Because then that would have been like 87, I'm thinking.
No, sooner. I thought 86? It was 86.
Yeah, yeah. You might be right. So it's somewhere around there. But the fact that Steven Tyler, when he wants to be on, is the greatest thing ever. And which is almost always. The guy's almost always on. But the fact that he was searching for things to make euphemisms out of in there. It's like, the best is where he goes, and so-and-so's on the waterfront with free shuttles to the theater district. My, 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 my. Like, get down and jam with the Canyon Yams. Yow! I guarantee you, whoever was doing that commercial for BCN wrote out a script and's like, here you go. If you could just say these few things. And he probably just said, I got this, and just went nuclear on it.
Well,
just,
when he goes, teacher and Rich, and then they say, toucher, and then he's like,
I'm a sexual innuendo alert.
Now you know where to touch her.
That wasn't the best part of that day, though. I think, Fred, you know what the best part of that day was? Every time he bring up the Steven Tyler story, whenever he came to the radio, he was hosting, what was it? He was
American Idol.
He was hosting American Idol. Was doing the tour, so that he came in and he was at a sister station, and he recorded that. The best part of the whole thing was it was the limousine. The limousine blocked in Fred and I. We had a very narrow part of the parking lot behind the building where we all parked, and the limousine decided to just park right up against a whole bank of cars, and Fred and I could not get out, and Fred lost it. That was the best part of the whole day, the best part of the whole story by far, because the limo driver standing out there. It's warm outside, so the limo driver's standing out there and wouldn't move his car.
I was like, get the hell out of here.
Fantastic. What the hell is wrong with
you? I'm tired. I've been up since 4:30 in the morning. Could you please move the car so I can go home?
Yeah, move your car, idiot. There's no reason for you to be here.
Don't you know I'm Steven Tyler's limo driver? I don't have to move anything.
And then you look at him, and he had feathers sewn into his hair.
And Steven Tyler, and then he goes, do I need to move it? Well, that's just...
Eat the Z Utwilidigo.
Right. By the way, his stint on American Idol was awesome. It was because he can't talk to a female without making some sort of sexual suggestions. And there were kids coming in to audition. They were 16-year-olds. And he's my. Like, all right, dude. Maybe you tone it back.
I love women.
Just tone it back a little bit with the young ones. And things might make you might end up looking a little bit better in the end, but that's Thanksgiving stuff. It's phenomenal. I mean, the Eddie Money Thanksgiving is also another one of my all time favorites. When he had his own radio show,
gobble gobble,
gobble gobble,
gobble gobble. You know, I love turkey. Okay,
Wallach complaining yesterday about this morning about picking up his mother in law at the airport.
No, I don't mind it. It's that I left my phone at home, and that made it about 10 times harder.
I don't
to
understand
do that.
Why you pick people up at the airport. Just, it doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, we're here very close to the airport. I mean, it didn't make any sense for me to go home. I don't mind picking her up my mother-in-law up at the airport to begin with, but we're 15 minutes from there.
It doesn't matter. It's a whole situation. Then they got to get out of the plane, and then you got to meet them.
But it costs, how much for someone to go out to where you live, Framingham, with a cab? That's a $70 cab ride.
The Uber ride's expensive.
Yeah, so you save 70 bucks.
Well, you don't have to Uber it. Take a cab.
Well, a cab would be about 70 bucks.
So what? It's worth $70 not have to go to the airport and sit there. I mean, that's what money's for. Money's for not having to do that kind of garbage. Yeah, my mom was in town. She took the wrong bag home. So she had to go back to the airport.
How did that happen?
Yeah, she from your house, she grabbed one of your bags?
No, she was at the airport. And when she got off her plane, she grabbed the wrong bag.
Oh, I see you're saying. You know what? I'm surprised that doesn't happen way more often.
I thought it was reversed, too. She accidentally took one of your bags from the house. That's what I thought you meant.
I was sleeping the whole time. I was taking a nap the entire time. Mm-hmm. Didn't wake me up. Took an Uber or whatever the hell she took. A cab or Uber, whatever. A cab home. Realized she had the wrong bag. Took an Uber back. Cab back home.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So it's very expensive. Very expensive.
It's not that. I mean, I'd pay $120 not to have to sit around the airport and wait for someone.
So even if the pickup were easy and all you had to do was roll up to the curb and you're here at work and your mom's plane is landing at 11 in the morning and you're 15 minutes from there, you wouldn't go get her?
No. Because it's something that doesn't have to happen. The whole airport is based on... There's no problem. It's all based on having transportation right there. I mean, any adult, if it was a child, I'd pick them up. But any adult can just walk out and get into a vehicle. Takes 2 seconds. I have no problem with you doing it. I mean, obviously, it's not me. But I just don't understand why a grown person needs to have their handhold and held and be taken from the airport.
I think it depends on what age. There might be a cutoff to where it's fine. But then I also know that there have been... like older parents who have come to visit and have somehow ended up in like Brookline.
All right. Well, they're idiots.
Well, it's just like they just know. Well, I mean, they start naming the names of streets and not saying anything. Well,
they should safety pin the address to their coat.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's happened before. So, and for me, it's not a problem because I'm literally like a mile away from the airport, so it's not that tough. But I could see how if it's a parent, you just got to do it.
I think if it's a parent, you absolutely don't have to do it. You're letting him stay at your house.
Well, I don't let him stay at my house.
Yeah, that's the thing. Rich lays down the
that's
law.
The difference.
We know about this story.
No, no, no.
Rich,
my parents don't stay at my house.
Guys, here's a hotel room.
Nope. Yep.
Regardless, I just don't know why it's necessary to pick someone up from the... It's one of my great pet peeves in this world, that the idea that you would have to pick someone up from the airport. And by the way, it adds to a problem. It's like pollution and everything. When you say, well, if everyone did this, mm-hmm. it would be, like if no one picked anyone up from the airport.
Traffic would be easier.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Life would be grand.
I understand.
Life would be grand. I mean, you'd have to have a total invalid to have to pick them up from the airport. I mean, if they can't get it together to get to your house.
She can, but, you know, my wife wanted me to go get her, so I had no trouble doing it.
Your wife wanted you to go get her?
No. She asked my mom. She asked me.
I love my mom very much. I'm not getting her from the airport. She doesn't need me to. She's perfectly capable. She got herself to her airport.
No, my mother-in-law is capable of getting an Uber and doing that, but it's a nice thing to do. As I said, almost there. We're close by.
So what? You got to go back to Natick.
Yeah?
Which is long as hell from the airport.
Kate, half an hour.
Pat, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey.
Hey.
Wallach, with the money that you make, there's no way you should be going to that airport. You should have either Uber or car service in your phone. And I have my wife's family has a lot of people in the family that come from out of state and travel a lot to see us, and I call either a limo service that I have on my phone, a service, or Uber for them. Never go to the airport. Listen to Fred.
Okay. I have other relatives that come in that don't necessarily, you know, they come in when I'm not working.
Know,
and they'll
the
take...
money that you make, that's ashtray money, you know? Stay out of the airport.
Perhaps you have my paycheck confused with these two guys. You know?
Well, listen.
I'm sure you do well.
He does well enough, believe me. He does well enough that he doesn't.
Enough for Ed and stay out of that place. It's aggravation.
Yep. There's no reason.
No, Logan is in a difficult spot. It's not easy to get to at times. You know, tunnels are not easy to negotiate trying to get there.
And I'm not busting your balls, but like, why does your mother-in-law need you to pick her up?
She doesn't.
Was she like an idiot?
No. No, as a matter of fact, she's perfectly fine with taking an Uber. I just thought it would be the nice thing to do.
It's just a courtesy. It's just like, all right, I'll pick you up so you don't have to worry about it. I got you.
Worried about what, though?
Well, just don't have to worry about getting a cab and then making sure you're going to the right place.
They're right there. You have an address.
Understood, but they also want to be with you. It's like a nice warm. It's like, hey, it's a greeting. It's a greeting. It's like, you know, it's a kind thing to do. You don't have to do it, but it is... It's
only
probably
she's
preferable.
Here to help with the kids, you know, and give my wife and I some alone time. Fine. I thought it's a nice thing to do.
Fine. I just you'd have to be a total moron not to be able to get from the airport to your house.
Well, it's happened before.
Oh,
I told you it's happened. Like they've ended up in like other parts of the city. I'm like, all right,
well that's
right.
Moronic. I mean,
but it happens.
That's on them. That's not on you.
I think that's on age.
My mom's 76, has no problem getting in here. My father-in-law has no trouble getting in here. I mean, it's an address. I mean, I wouldn't do it, but my 10-year-old son could get to the house. I mean, he could get off the plane.
Sure.
But if he didn't have to go to baggage claim, he could get off the plane, find the cab stand, and give them the address.
Well, when I lived on Boylston Street, apparently there are like several other Boylston Streets like around Boston Metro. That's not the only one. Mm-hmm. And so they happened to find the one that was in like
Roxbury,
Brighton or something like that. Yeah, they somehow got out there.
Mattapan.
Yeah.
It was 23 like Roxbury Street, Mattapan. Here you go.
Mm-hmm. At midnight. Have fun. Get out. All right, Rich, what do we have? What happened last evening?
You had a good night for the Celtics and, unfortunately, a bad night for the Bruins, and not just because of the loss. A major key piece might be missing for a while.
All right, we will have that for you in a moment.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 88.5 Sports Hub.
We are Toucher and Rich. Rich, what happened last evening?
Well, what happened last night is brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. No matter what time of the day it is, two bacon, egg, and cheese sandwiches are always a good thing. And now you can get two for $5 at Dunkin' Donuts. Go twos. Participation may vary. The Celtics bounce back with a well-needed Geno time at the Garden.
Tatum backs it out against Jabari Parker. Pulls up, shoots a three over him, and drills it. And the Chicago Bulls have been the cure for what has been ailing the Celtics. That is for sure here in the second quarter. 30-9 is the second quarter score.
We said it yesterday. After the team's gross 1-4 road trip, the Celtics needed to not only beat the lowly Chicago Bulls, they needed to pummel them. Well, mission accomplished. A nearly 30-point win for the Seas, 111-82 the final score. After a close first quarter, the Celtics went on a run in the second, outscoring the Bulls 32-11 and never looked back. Partly due to the play of this guy.
Jabari Parker throws a sloppy pass deflected away from Holiday. Kyrie gets there and punches it into the front court where Jaylen Brown slams it with two hands. Now the Celtics score seven straight, turning defense into offense.
How it turns.
So Jaylen Brown finally starting to get comfortable, scoring 18, going 18 for four, eight from the 14 from the floor. Kyrie was his dependable self, scoring 17. As a matter of fact, every starter last night scored in double figures. And how improbable is this? Last night, guess who passed Eddie House to enter the top 10 Celtics three-point leaders of all time?
Hand off, Marcus Smart, pretty good look at a right side three. Got it.
Good job coming behind that pick. Big Bane sets a pick. That's a roadblock. That's Australia.
Marcus freaking Smart. Whatever the hell that Australia thing meant.
Longest tenured Celtic.
The guy
Marcus
that most,
Smart.
The guy that most of us still yell no when he releases it from downtown.
Oh, well, you take enough of him.
Okay, volume. It's a numbers game. Yep. It's like going to a club. You hit on three chicks.
Yeah.
29 say no, and then the one says yes. You're getting laid that night.
Well, he hit his 333rd three-pointer last night, and now is only 15 threes behind number nine on the list, Danny Ainge, who, by the way, we will have on this morning at 9 a.m.
We have to alert Danny to this.
Oh, well, we have to let him know. I mean, first of all, God bless Eddie House. He was one of my favorite Celtics from back in that era with the big three.
Mm-hmm.
But when they put that stat up there, I had to sit there and go, there's no way that can possibly be true. And then I thought about all the threes that he's chucked up there and I went, yeah, that's probably more than likely true. Well, here is Brad Stevens on finally getting a win.
You know, I felt like once we kind of settled down, saw the ball go in a few times, you know, Jabari Parker hit some tough shots in that first quarter, but for the most part, our defense was pretty solid and pretty good. It kind of kept us at bay. And then, you know, once we hit a couple, I thought, you know, we felt a lot better about ourselves. That to be expected when you come off of a road trip where it didn't go your way and it's a long trip in general.
Okay, Smart this season is 12 for 44 shooting threes. For his career, he's under 30%. 29%. I love Marcus. I love him on this team. But the fact that he shoots 29% from three and is still in the top 10 in three-point makes all time for this franchise is quite amazing.
Oh, well, it's great.
You know, there was a long time where there was no three-point line. When a lot of the greats played.
True. How far is he from Bird?
Oh,
can I look at the list? By the way,
Bird just looked up from the other Bird.
from that Bird
right.
Who we work with.
Yes.
I mean, I know like Paul Pierce doubles number two, essentially. I think it's Paul Pierce and then Ray Allen. And Pierce is like 1,700 threes or something like
right.
that. And Ray hasn't even cracked 1,000, I don't think. But Larry's like around fifth place, I think, or fourth or fifth place.
And that's part of it. I mean, I think when Bird came in the league, were there threes when Bird came into the league?
I mean,
79?
No, he hit a ton. I have the list here. So
yeah, no, I think it wasn't until 81 or 2 that they put the
threes
in there.
That might have been college.
Here it is. So you got, this is as a Boston Celtic. Paul Pierce leads it, obviously, with 18, 23. And then, Antoine Walker. I forgot about him. He's number two.
All Antoine needed was a few more years. He would have been number one easily.
Sure. Well, if he would have had a four-point shot as he asked for, the numbers would have been even higher. So 937 from Antoine Walker. And then it goes to Ray Allen at number three with 798. Okay, Larry Bird is at 649. So Marcus Smart just got another, was it a four-year deal or a five-year deal?
Four.
Four-year deal.
Four.
He could get there. He's been here for four, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So just double.
Five. He's been here five.
Okay. Well, just.
This is his fifth season.
Well, he's got more confidence and probably more playing time. So just double that number. And that is, the Devil's number, 666. However, that does pass Larry Bird. Yeah. So if he plays out his contract, there is a chance that Marcus Smart could have more three-pointers as a Boston Celtic.
Antoine Walker, 937 threes in only 557 games.
By the way, 1979, the league introduced the three-pointer.
Was it 79?
Yeah, so okay. Larry Bird's rookie season.
Okay.
There was that opportunity.
You know who's number six on this list? Isaiah Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
Isaiah Thomas in his
two and a half, three.
Yeah.
Well, league has changed. I mean, it's a three-point league right now.
Wow. He had 460 during his time here. That is absolutely, I mean, there was that one year where he was just like, I mean, it went on cheat mode.
You're leaving out number seven. I love Walter. Walter McCarty's on the top 10 list.
Yeah, he's one of the 5,000 Kentucky guys.
Yeah, that's right.
So a couple of days ago, Kyrie mentioned that the team could use a 14-year veteran. And by the way, I saw a lot of people spinning that as a diss towards Al Horford. Like people saying, well, you know, you got a 12-year veteran right there. What kind of insult is that? Well, he was saying that, you know, he needed a guy like that to help younger players keep their heads in the game. He was asked last night whether or not he was referring to anyone specific, much like Carmelo Anthony.
I think I was speaking on in general for where we are as a team in terms of what we have in here as a group. And I was speaking to, you know, the responsibility that's put on me as well as Al, as well as Mook and Gordon to be the leaders of this team. I mean, we're all relatively young as well. Al's the oldest out of all of us, but, you know, he's 13 years in, 12 years in. I think I was speaking just in general is obviously there's a lot of trade movement going on in the league as usual around this, you know, around this time. But I wasn't speaking to anyone specific. I just was speaking to, you know, maybe like a, you know, vet that has been through a championship run, a few championship runs, that's able to be patient with this team as well as understand what we're going through of just figuring out the pieces and how they mesh well together. That's all.
Yeah, except for, you know, excluding Brad Stevens, your coach. He needs a Ross, someone who's been married a couple times. You know?
Sure.
Everything comes back down to friends. Right.
By the way, please don't mention Carmelo Anthony and the Celtics in the same sentence again.
Oh, yeah. It is a...
Please don't do that.
By the way, how you like in Daniel Tice's new haircut? My man went straight up 8 Mile era Eminem. Like, just blonded that sucker. And it's like...
Everyone's doing that. I had a meeting for a basketball league where they have high school kids coach too, and I'd say one third of the kids had dyed their hair blonde.
He went straight up Greg Steensma on us. But the other thing is too is that when he first came on the court, it's so short that I couldn't tell whether he was bald or he had bleached his hair. And then sure enough, it's like, I mean, almost like skin tight, but he's got the little, you know, doohickey in the front. Just to let you know, listen, man, I didn't go completely skin on this one.
Yeah. I mean, he's always been sexy. Now he seems a little dangerous.
Yep. Tice has got what it takes. He is fresh, as they say. So the homestand continues with two tough ones in a row starting tomorrow night against Kawhi Leonard and the Toronto Raptors, followed by Utah on Saturday night.
Yeah, Utah's 500, and they just lost by 50 last night.
Oh, did who they lose to?
Dallas.
Oh,
they lost in
that's
Dallas
a bad loss.
By 50.
All right.
118-68.
Well, they looked like world beaters when they played the Celtics.
Yeah.
So
DeAndre, they are saying, is being selfish.
They don't like him there. But from the players, apparently, he is not gelling with the rest of the
and
Mavericks.
They showed that the instances where it was just, you know, someone would shoot in transition and then the opponent would run down the court the other way, and Hopkins would push someone out of the way on his own team to get the rebound.
To that I say he's probably still the most talented player on that team.
In terms of being able to jump and being big, yes.
Yes. Yeah. They're not very good right now.
In terms of any kind of actual skill, I would say probably not. All right. The Bruins played last night. It was 10 o'clock. It was far too late.
I watched more than I should have because the first period was fantastic.
Yeah, I didn't watch it because
little Toucher and Rich magic sprinkled in again.
Yep, that's true. But unfortunately, they
he can't play defense, Rich. He can only score goals.
He can only score goals. But we did have a little bit of that. But they may have lost for a little bit a major piece that they can't afford to lose right now.
All right, here are the headlines.
98.5 Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, the Bruins with the tough one last night.
Yeah, they faced one of the best lines in hockey last night and lost a major piece along the way.
Up top it comes Girard. Near circle, Canada. Send it right circle. Back up top for Girard. Right circle, it's fired. And they score. Soderberg, his drive looked like it was going low. Got deflected just inside the far post, and it went high. And the Avs with a 6-3 lead over the Bruins.
Well, after the Bruins sat on top of the two-goal lead, and by the way, when you hear that clinking sound, I think the Bruins had four hit goalposts in the first 10 minutes of yesterday's
yes,
game.
Yes, that's correct.
It was just like, oh my God, you got to be kidding me again. Well, the Avalanche said after that, we're no longer messing around and started to score at will. 6-3, the final score. First, the good news. Last time we had Jake DeBrusk on the show, his very next game, he scored two goals. Well, earlier this week, we had Jake DeBrusk on, and guess what he did last night in his very first game after speaking with us?
Breakaway for Jake DeBrusk. He'll wheel in the slot, forehand, shoots, he scores! Jake DeBrusk celebrates in the far corner. High slot, Pastrnak shoots, they score! That's Jake DeBrusk, big celebration. He got the deflection right at the top of the crease. A power play goal. 3-1 Bruins.
There you go.
Two shots on goal.
What's that?
Two shots on goal. Two goals.
Toucher and Rich bump is real. But then again, the Toucher and Rich curse is also real, which means he's going to be traded by the end of the season. Yeah. Just ask Andrew Alberts, Aaron Ward, Sean Thornton, Johnny Boychuk, Riley Smith. Am I forgetting anyone?
That's enough.
Who suffered the Toucher and Rich Bruins curse? Yeah. But one of the main reasons the Avalanche were able to bounce back was that their scoring barrage started almost immediately after Zdeno Chara left the game after the first period with a lower body injury.
Bounces it ahead. Soderberg got spun around by Chara. And the Bruins banging off the inboard to the far side.
It looked like it shook Chara up.
A little slow coming up the ice.
Very. I think something to keep an eye on is Zdeno Chara. He's heading down to the locker room right now. But he was shaken up on that hit out by the blue line. Stayed on the ice for the shift, but really was not moving well at all, and he's already down in the Bruins locker.
Well, I give Bob Ears credit, because they didn't mention anything about it during the broadcast, other than that he wasn't back on the bench when the second period started. So Bob saw it immediately. Zdeno Chara was trying to check Carl Soderberg into the boards, and his left knee buckled in awkwardly.
Yeah, Soderberg spun around and actually delivered the blow instead of Chara.
Soderberg earning every dollar.
Right. Causing damage yesterday. That's right. Scoring.
Carl Soderberg given the worst contract in NHL history by the Colorado Avalanche.
Well, it did not look good, unfortunately. Here is Bruce Cassidy being asked about Chara's status afterwards.
It's a lower body. I don't have much. I don't know. I assume that they'll have to. I didn't get really a report. All they told me was he was out for the rest of the night. And usually that takes a day to get looked at, whether that's in Dallas or he has to go home. I have no idea. But I'm sure we'll have more news on it tomorrow.
All right. Say that Chara can't go, and the early word from the locker room and what we've been able to glean is this is at least a one-game absence. It doesn't sound like he's going to be able to shake this one off, and it did look like a left knee injury. Say he's out. Already. You have Charlie McAvoy and Urho Vaakanainen with concussions. Brandon Carlo and Kevin Miller have upper body injuries. They skated before practice 2 days ago, but it doesn't look like they're ready to go.
Are they on the road?
I don't know if they're with the team.
Get with it.
I do not know the answer to that.
But maybe try.
Minus those players, anyone want to guess what the Bruins have left on
defense? So you're going to have Grizzlick and Moore. Right?
Grizzlick, Moore.
Okay. Krug's still in.
Yep.
Grizzlick, Moore, Krug.
Kampfer, is he? Okay.
Kampfer's there.
And then Lauzon.
Yep.
And Zboril.
Those are the six.
I mean, that is.
Those are the six players that you currently have. Torrey Krug is your number one defenseman.
All right. When does McAvoy skating? He's been out a while. We know that's a concussion.
It is assumed it's a concussion, yes. All right, and so, Vaakanainen definitely has a concussion.
All right. So McAvoy could be back at any time.
Yep. He could be.
If he traveled with the team, if Johnny, big notes there, knew if he traveled with the team, some of us have to go to bed because we got to be sharp the next day.
I understand. By the way, first draft that Don Sweeney had was in 2015, I believe. Zboril, DeBrusk, Carlo, Lauzon, all four of those guys in the first two rounds. And here they are. You want? By the way, remember all that defensive depth the Bruins had at one point?
Yeah, it's
That's
gone.
Pretty much gone. Yeah. Yeah.
Tyler, go ahead.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, what's up, Tyler? How you doing, man?
Doing great. Thank you for asking. I just wanted to touch up on the Bruins really quick. I mean, yes, half of these guys are bringing in, like, not so good talent. But at the same time, you got to figure this. I mean, they are, you're playing with most more advanced guys. And
it's true.
The more advanced guys are, they know what to do. They know how to play the puck, and they know how to get it in their own zone. Okay? But here's what I don't understand. I don't understand why the new guys are like not doing anything. Well, most of the new guys are playing on the bench.
Yep. That's true. A lot of times in hockey, you'll just have guys sitting on the bench.
That's back-to-back third shifters who called up drunk. Back-to-back days.
I love it. You know what?
There was no Sarge.
Get it off your chest.
No, he was too drunk for a Sarge.
Jay, go ahead. Happen. I just like they're sitting on the bench.
They're sitting on the bench, not playing.
Yeah.
I turned it on, and I saw the game was going on, and Bergeron's on the bench.
Thank you, Dr. Stephen Bro.
Coach, can I get in the game? No, you sit on the bench. All right, Jay, go ahead.
Good morning, guys. So I think it's safe to say that we're screwed with Krug going as our first defender, right?
I mean, it doesn't look good.
No, it's known as a screwed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, last I heard, McAvoy is definitely a concussion. Vaakanainen is definitely a concussion. I don't think McAvoy or Vaakanainen went with the team.
No, neither are with the team. That's true.
So who's questionable about being with the team, Carlo and Miller?
Yes. I think Carlo is there.
He's halfway decent. Miller's not going to do any difference. He's about as good as Lauzon and Zboril.
Well, I mean, that's...
No,
I thought he was going to say he's as good as Sarge. No, God damn.
All right, get it out of your head.
You got to get out of your head.
It's
going to be Grizzly. It's going to be Grizzly Moore, and then you're going to have Krug and who is it? Kampfer. And then you're going to have Zboril and Lauzon. That's going to be who's playing against the Stars.
I know, but you can't match those two. You got to split those two up.
Who? Lauzon and Zboril?
Yes.
Well,
you got to split those two up. Come on, you can't have those two together.
Give me three pairings. Zboril, that will blow your
mind. This is his first NHL game tomorrow night.
These are the names that are available.
Yes.
All right?
No, I would. So I say you put Zboril and Krug together. I think that part's clear. You got to put the experienced guy with the rookie. You could put Grizzly and Krug together and just get like a crazy ass offensive pairing.
Sure.
I wouldn't be against that.
Those are the two guys on your number one power play.
That's what I'm saying.
Krug and Grizzly.
Yeah, I'm saying that. If you could get Krug and Grizzly on the same line.
Sure.
I would watch that for a night.
Go for broke, man.
Fred, why would you do that? Because they're keeping the best players on the bench.
Well, that's a shame. I mean, you're just sitting on the bench going, Coach.
Legit, the Bruins have five defensemen out. If Chara can't play tomorrow night, five defensemen are out.
Well, the Bruins will continue their road trip and cross your fingers defensively what they'll do against the Dallas Stars. But Tuukka Rask, however, is expected to join the team for the first time in almost a week. Now, they have not announced that he is going to be in net, but he will be joining the team.
He's going to play tomorrow night or Saturday night. That's what Bruce Cassidy said when he returned to practice.
All right. So there you go. And Fred, coming up, I have some audio from two members of the Patriots that are going to hit home with you. This is something that you mentioned your love of discussing.
Right. Yes, yes. It's something that, you know what?
You may have heard one of these. You didn't hear the other one.
Okay, just something that is on this planet that people enjoy that I just don't understand. We'll hear that in just a moment.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
.985 the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And Rich, the Patriots had their practice, the final practice of the bye week.
Yeah, and Belichick obviously not pleased with everything and how it went down in Tennessee this past Sunday. So before the team took off for their bye week, Coach Bill wanted to give them something to remember him by. So yesterday he held practice in full pads in what was very close to freezing cold and a wind that was reportedly so strong that the goalposts were slightly tilted. On top of that, the music was, according to reports, turned up louder than the norm. We're talking Bon Jovi's New Jersey album at a 10, it sounds like.
Yeah.
But after practice, the players talked to the media for the last time until the bye week is over. And apparently 2 nights ago,
Tom Brady was spotted at a certain musical that is visiting town right now. Fred, you have the clip.
Hamilton? I love Hamilton. It's my third time seeing it, so. Yeah, it's a great show. Anyone who's here should go see it. It's great in New York. It was actually really good last night. I loved it. No. Though I did tell my wife one day I would love to just be on that show for, I don't know, a week. But I would need a lot of practice. Yeah. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
He's so charismatic, but also...
Can we see your jazz hands?
Yeah. You saw Hamilton three times, idiot. Like, I can't, again, for the life of me, understand how you can go to a play about a mediocre, fairly minor historical figure listening to theater nerds rap about it. Hamilton, and I know I can do some things with the government. Hey, everybody, I'm Hamilton.
It's not enough rapping. You're singing too much.
Well, it's like the kids do now. It's like a Drake thing.
Oh, you just gotta mumble through it then.
I'm Hamilton. I just can't imagine. And I saw it three times, as if the third time you're like, whoa, this finally got really not douche chills inducing.
I'm sure it's very hooky, Fred.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure it's great. I'm sure it's the greatest thing ever. What a pile of garbage that is. I can't believe that's a hit. I can't believe that many people are that dumb.
You're probably talking Big Jim Murray, saying he's dumb. He loves Hamilton. He thought it was worth every penny. He saw it actually on Broadway.
Well, I mean,
he spent the money to get the ridiculous price ticket.
Yeah, to see a bunch of theater nerds sit around and pretend to rap about stupid historical garbage.
Well, they're actually rapping. They're pretending to rap.
Well, no, but they're like, hey, Aaron Burr, let's have a duel. You know what's next? You're going to be a fool. Bang, bang, bang goes the gun.
But somebody who also seems to like Hamilton.
I'm Am Hamilton. I'm here to say I'm the Hamilton guy from the USA.
So he wasn't Tom Brady. He was not the only one in the Patriots locker room who seemed to be a fan of Hamilton.
Yes.
Would you like to hear from Mr. Matthew Slater by any chance?
Yes, I love the theater, especially historical musicals.
The cuff question, Tom Brady saw Hamilton for a third time last night. I know you've seen it. How was it? And two, he said that he also wants to be in Hamilton for a week. Cool. Do you think he could do that?
I'm going to go with a strong no on him. Those people are way too talented for us.
Yeah, I mean, that's some real rap-a-roonies there. Rap, 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 rapping over the beakers at school. Please grab the Bunsen. I don't want to look like a fool. So many chemicals to play with and see what goes on. Hey everyone, let's go see Hamilton and sing a song. I don't think I'm gonna go with a hard no. I made it funny.
There's people yelling at you for calling him a minor historical character.
He's the greatest.
Yeah, just the guy who invented our economy and wrote the Federalist Papers. Didn't do much for this country or play any major role in fighting either.
Yeah, right. He's right up there with Jefferson and Washington. If you give me... Fine. Hamilton's the greatest. The play's still for total nerds. Hamilton. He knows what to do. John Hancock had a good signature, too. I'm like Ben Franklin with the kite. I hope the USA's full of might. Take on the British. Take on the British. Yep. That's a beatbox, too. Beatbox, too. Hey, everybody. Let's all wear white wigs. And let's have a guy who's 5 feet and do B. Hamilton.
Scratch that record. This is exactly how I like my rap. Really boring.
Honestly, one of the best musicals I've seen, and I've seen a few.
Yeah, it's not my first time around the dance floor. Fiddler on the Roof? Come on. Give me Fiddler on the Roof. You know what I loved? You know, I went and saw Hair. And there were naked boobies.
Okay, well, really?
Yeah. Mr. Slater could not stand up. Hachi Machi. Look at the lady. She's got no pants. I can't stand up. I cannot take a chance. I am aroused to say this play is okay. Look at the boobs. Look at the thing. Fifi's all over the place. And some wieners.
Just so creative. Those people are so talented to be able to
make something insufferable.
Sing and dance and rap and bring all that history together and what I consider just a magnificent show. So my wife and I would love to see it again. I got some big time brownie points at the house when I came with those tickets. So
sure. Brownie points. You know that means more time in the lab.
To do experiments? Extra yes, Bunsen yes, burner for you.
Yes, yes. I've got some brownie points. Now to the basement to get back to my experiments.
He ran out of rap skills.
I did. I couldn't figure out what to rap.
We'll try to do that again.
Good for you. And just to clear, Tom is not talented enough to be in that.
He might have the rap skills, but I think it's going to be the dancing that keeps him ultimately from being casted in that role.
Okay.
Man.
Don't you think at TV12, though, sing, dance, rap, aren't those three qualities the first come to mind?
Yeah, those are the first three that come to mind.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm having a great time. You guys make me chuckle.
You're riling up the pro-Hamilton crowd, Fred.
Yeah, you know what riles me up is taking a balloon, mm-hmm. rubbing it on my chest, and sticking it to the wall.
It works. I mean, it is science.
Yep, static electricity.
It does work.
Atoms, electrons and having fun. Let's rub balloons all over everyone and stick them to the wall or put them in your hair. There's no shortage of science experiments of which I care.
All right, didn't really stick the landing on that one.
I stuck the landing. Yeah. All right, we will have the headlines, nothing else, and then we will...
Look who's back from his honeymoon!
I know, it's Joe Murray and Dan Lifshatz. They're going to come in. It's the Bankroll Boys with all their gambling sensations.